You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. On today's show, was very happy to be joined by Jeremy Lawless, host of the CLE Tribecast podcast, and we talk a lot about Francisco Lindor, and we also talk a little bit about Carlos Carrasco. So I will play all of that in just a minute. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets, MetsMorizeOnline.com. All right, Mets fans, really excited to bring on this guest. We got Jeremy Lawless, host of the CLE Tribecast. Thank you for joining me.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Ryan.
And we were introduced back when the Mets and Indians came together on a trade for Francisco Lindor, and you guys reached out to me to come on your show. And the first thing you said to me is that you wanted to be put on the therapy couch and you wanted me to talk you guys through it. Are you feeling a little bit better a couple months later?
Yeah, we're feeling a little bit better now. And I think that's kind of with both sides. I think Lindor feels better. I think Cleveland fans feel better. And we're feeling really good with the early return on spring training. Ahmed Rosario took a walk today.
Wow. Did he really?
He did. He is one for one with a walk so far in spring training.
I'm shocked. He matched his walk total through 20 games last year. And
right. That was like the main thing that you had talked about, that he has no discipline there. But so I was good. Happy to see that. And then Andrés Giménez is 4-for-4 with a triple, home run, and 3 RBIs so far. So
I saw his OPS is like over 3,000. I mean, it's obviously 4 at-bats, but
sure. Sure. But it's, you know, the early return on it. I'm an Indians fan. We've seen player after player try to replace that star talent that we get rid of, right? And they just don't pan out. So the early return is fantastic. It's got a lot, it's got a decent amount of people excited.
And I saw you also interview Josh Wolf, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
What was your takeaway from that?
That he is a great kid. Obviously, you know, he's had a couple times where he came to camp not in the shape that he wanted to be in. Hopefully that doesn't continue on, but he's only 20 years old. I mean, kids are going to do that. So I'm excited to get him into the Indian system as far as, you know, pitcher development, because we keep turning him out. I think he'll have, especially if that fastball is at 97, like he said, I think he's going to have some good success, and we should see him here in the next few years.
That's still the thing that my biggest takeaway from the trade. I've been saying, you know, Andrés Giménez is the player I love. I miss him. I think he's going to be great. But just to get that pitching prospect at that age in that system, the way it's a pitching factory, that's for his career, that might have been the best thing for him, honestly.
Yeah, and that's kind of what he said. I mean, Kyle Doughty, who's in the Indian system. I don't know if they train together. I don't know remember exactly what their connection is, but that's what he texted Josh right away and said, this is the best thing to happen for you in your baseball career. Yeah. And in the short period of time he's been with the team, I mean, he hasn't even met anyone face-to-face at the time we talked to him, but he's very impressed so far with, you know, everyone reaching out, making sure, like, seeing what he's up to, what his training looks like, what his diet looks like. He's been very impressed so far from the Indians organization. So we're pretty excited to have him, especially after talking to him. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better kid.
Yeah. And so I think with that, the Indians are in a pretty good position as far as, you know, what they could have gotten in that trade. But this is the first spring training. You guys haven't had Francisco Lindor around. And I can't think of any addition the Mets have maybe made in my lifetime. And I was too young to really fully grasp, like, a Mike Piazza, but to see an outside player come in And it just feels like he has very quickly become the leader of the team in no time. Everyone's talking about how vocal he is. We have, you know, the hitting coach like Chili Davis talking about how his work ethic is something he hasn't seen hitting since he coached David Ortiz. And you just have the personality, the swag. It's crazy to see the impact this guy's had in, what are we, like 10 days into camp? It's crazy.
Right. So I would caution you, you know, and we kind of mentioned it when you came onto our show. I mean, he's not without his faults. Let's be serious.
No,
you know, after we, you know, us here in Cleveland, us Midwesterners are going and hearing all the Lindor jabs kind of thrown out there in the media. And so we're looking at anything and kind of grabbing onto anything. But we had another guest on our show that pointed out a very alarming statistic that I didn't even recognize because it's Francisco Lindor. We just all looked past it. And it's his batting average with runners in scoring position. Over the last 2 years, especially, has been terrible. Absolutely terrible. It was in the 100s last year. Wow. And it was in the low twos the year before. His first year up in 2015, it was 350. But it's just kind of gradually gone down. And I think for his career, it's at 257 right now. So it's a worrisome thing that we've kind of grabbed onto now here in Cleveland. Because, I mean, some of the stuff that he's saying, why is he saying it? Maybe you can help me. Why is he saying it?
Let's go for this. I wanted you to hop on a hype train with me, but I'm curious about some of the stuff from an Indians fan perspective, because on the Mets side, obviously, we're eating out of the palm of his hand. Everything he says, we love. So sure. I am curious.
Well, so from someone that's been formerly on that train, right? Like, we just ate up everything. Yeah. I think some of the things that Francisco Lindor doesn't do well is hidden in the broad spectrum of Major League Baseball because, and like I've heard your last guest say, stuck in Cleveland, right? So there's not a ton of exposure across the league, but some of the stuff that he doesn't do well, I don't think anyone's seen it before, because how many Cleveland Indians games have you seen on national television other than in the playoffs? Not very many. So you see the charisma, you see the leadership and the vocalness and all of those fun things. But the Frankie, Tito Francona, I'm pretty sure, was the one that started calling him Frankie in public. Like, it's not like a lazy thing. We thought it was your like nickname, so we went with it, and just kind of stuff like that
too, because I think he just recently said he wants to be called Francisco, not Frankie, right?
Yeah, which is fine. Like, I would have called him Francisco. I'll say Francisco Lindor the whole time. Yeah. Francisco Lindor from Puerto Rico, it doesn't matter to me. But it's just a little bit weird. I really didn't like his conversation about what's wrong with Major League Baseball. I feel like he said money, 12 to 15 times. And he said things like team or effort about two or three times. And I think that's a little bit telling. And I'm going to throw something out here that you're probably going to think I'm crazy for.
If you want to hear what Jeremy is crazy about, stay tuned in just a minute. I just had to tell you about the best tasting protein bars ever. And that's Built Bar. If you want to try any of their amazing flavors, there are so many to choose from. I love the cookies and cream bar. You also have the caramel brownie bar, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and the apple almond crisp, just to name a few. These really are protein bars that taste so good you'll think they're candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and they are healthy, as Built Bars come low in calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. Again, that's LOCKEDON20 for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Hosted by Peter Bukowski, Locked On Today is a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes by subscribing to Locked On Today, wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if I extend Francisco Lindor right now. I think it's more, I think it's more pivotal for him to sign a long-term extension for big money before this season starts, because if he does not improve with runners in scoring position and his clutch at bats, then that's going to be very exposed in your network over there in New York. And people are going to start jumping on him and questioning on him a little bit more than what they did when he was in Cleveland and he didn't get the same kind of exposure. So if he has a year like he did in 2019, 2020 over there for New York, I mean, that could cost him $100 million.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting, I didn't expect the conversation to go this way, but it is definitely interesting to talk about because, you know, right now I think it's more important for the Mets to sign Michael Conforto to a long-term deal. And it really comes down to the market. With Conforto, he's going to hit free agency, in my opinion, as probably being the clear-cut best outfielder on the market. I mean, he has a great chance with a big year. He's also one of those guys that went through injuries and his career trajectory is just the last 2 years, he started to skyrocket. So this is really important right now for the Mets to come to a deal with him before he really kind of explodes and prices himself out of New York. And with Lindor, knowing that you have Steve Cohen, as much as everyone's loving Lindor right now, there's going to be at least three top tier shortstops on the market, at least, and probably more than that, because Trevor Story is not going to sign. So that's going to be one. Doesn't seem like Correa is going to sign right now. I mean, I think Seager's up as well. There's a lot of options. So I do think that that could be something where the Mets maybe prioritize getting a, you know, $200 million deal, or probably not even that much, $150 for Conforto instead of trying to go $300 million for Lindor right now, when you're right, he could play out this year and we'll see what he does.
Yeah. And so I feel like that kind of ran negative, and I didn't mean to take the wind out of your sails. Francisco Lindor is a great baseball player. Okay. He has his own gravitational pull anywhere near a baseball field, right? But it's kind of worrisome, the runners in scoring position. If you look up those stats, I don't know if you have, you probably have, it's a little worrisome because last year in 2020, it was like, where's this offense coming from if it's not for Jose Ramirez? And it just wasn't coming from Francisco Lindor. And here in Cleveland, we always, you know, bash our owners and want our owners to spend more money. And they said, we can't afford that and also build a championship team around him with our payroll. And I kind of understand after diving into more of just the, you know, forgetting the person that he is, forgetting the charisma, forgetting all of that, and just kind of breaking down those numbers. If you can't hit with runners in scoring position, we can't pay you $300 million. And they weren't going to get him anyways. Let's be serious. I don't think they had an offer on the table for more than $100 million for Francisco Lindor, which is just silly.
Well, you're almost putting – you're getting to the point where I'm on the therapy couch, and I'm like, wait a minute.
No, it's
– So here's what I need you to do. I need you to talk about the complete baller he is, like you said a couple months ago. Talk about that swagger, that personality, the leadership, some of the intangibles that even if he's not hitting with runners in scoring position, how he still helps you have a winning ball club.
If he's going out there and having fun and being Frankie, if he's out there being Frankie – it's a great time. I mean, again, he has his own gravitational pull. That's fans, that's coaches, that's players, that's everyone in the building. And he could say very little and people will still follow his lead. He's a natural, you know, he's out there smiling, having a good time, making a web gem or two throughout the game, you know, getting a hit, you know, getting to second base and just getting up and cheering up his dugout over there. I mean, that's when he's playing his best, is when he's smiling. You can tell when he's dealing with other things, and it could very well be just the money contract situation in Cleveland, right? I mean, you come up through the system, you kind of want to stay here, but you're not necessarily tied here. And then now they don't want to pay you what you think you're worth, and that could hang over your head. So, I mean, hey, he might come up and hit 350 with runners in scoring position and have all the RBIs. I mean, it sounds like I'm kind of crapping on him, but he hit 30 home runs the last three full seasons, hit a few more last year. Wasn't a great year, but everyone had a bad year, right? In 2020.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think he's an awesome baseball player, and I think it's awesome fit in New York. I just don't understand why he's coming back at us a little bit right now. Maybe that's what got me wound up today.
I can understand it. You know, I've been, there's players that have spurned the Mets, or there's players that have left the Mets and have gone on to do great things on other teams. And it seems like when they're going head to head, like a Daniel Murphy or a Justin Turner, they get a little bit more up for that game. You're just like, leave us alone. We were trying to be good to you. I am interested with Lindor about his rookie season, if you can go back to them, because from an outsider's perspective, it seemed like the dude at a young age came up, and it was just like he had been there for 10 years, and suddenly he was the guy everyone was looking towards. What was it like when he first kind of burst onto the scene?
Everyone was so excited. All the Cleveland fans that I know, they wanted him up the year before. It just so happened to work out that, like, in his first week up with the club, I was living in Chicago at the time they played in Wrigley. So I got a chance to see him his first week up. He's been the same guy from year one, you know, personality-wise to this past year. He's just, again, he's his own universe, man. Like on the baseball diamond, it's his diamond and everyone around knows it. But you can kind of sum it up in one play, like his first major league hit. It gets hit out into, I believe, right field, and he's rounding first base, I think, in Detroit, and he stumbles over first base and falls. And then him and Miguel Cabrera just laughing it up on first base. Like, that, to me, sums up Francisco Lindor in that rookie year to a T, because you have to imagine, like, all of the excitement, all the nerves of getting your first hit, and then to just get up and kind of laugh it off with, you know, Miguel Cabrera, and not have any kind of idolization fears or anything there. I mean, that was just Francisco Lindor from the get-go. I mean, he was just a star from the first time he was up.
Yeah. When you said that, I remember that play exactly. I remember that. I remember at the time I was probably just watching MLB Network and, oh, who's this kid up for Cleveland? I guess he was a good prospect. What's he going to turn into? And we've seen the career he's had. And I also believe he was on a list during the Mets game today, a stat. I think him and Miguel Cabrera, one of like five players in MLB history that have had 30 home runs and 40 doubles in three consecutive seasons. So obviously when I'm looking at what he's going to bring to the Mets, we haven't seen the combination of power and defense from a Mets shortstop maybe ever. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but you still have the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, or reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you could imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code Locked On. Again, that's promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
He has both tools, obviously. His average has kind of dropped from year one, where he only hit a few home runs, and then the next year he hit more and then more and then more. So he's kind of adapted his swing to more of a power hitter, which I think is a great thing for him. I mean, 30 home runs, the possibility, especially in New York, 90 to 100 RBIs, depending on where he is in your lineup. But you guys added so many good pieces to the lineup. He doesn't have to be that guy every day, even though he hasn't missed more than, I think, 13 games in a year since he came up. So, I mean, he's going to be there all the time, unless something, you know, knock on wood, obviously. But I think it'll be good for him to not have to be that guy. And it's interesting to where you guys will put him in the lineup, because I don't think we ever figured out the right place to put Francisco Lindor in the lineup. As crazy as that sounds, with someone like Terry Francona, we couldn't put him in the right spot in the lineup last year.
Did he mostly bat leadoff?
He hit third and leadoff. They like putting Jose Ramirez in the two hole too, which doesn't make any sense to me, especially this year since our big hitters are kind of few and far between. So why stack the first four? But we overload the front four, and then the rest of the lineup's kind of silly. But yeah. Where would you like to see Lindor in your lineup? Like, who are you going to put him in between?
So right now, what they've done so far is they've had Brandon Nimmo as the leadoff guy, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, the guy gets on base at a ridiculous clip. And then it's been Lindor second, and they've been protecting him so far with Pete Alonso. Now, I could see them go with Michael Conforto in that spot as well if they wanted to, if Conforto was hotter and you push Alonso back to cleanup. But today, Jeff McNeil was batting fifth. And for the most part, he's pretty much batted in the top three for a lot of his career already. So to see him there, to know that Dominic Smith wasn't in the lineup today, the length in this lineup is just ridiculous. I think James McKinn's going to bat eighth. So, I mean, this team, it's a loaded lineup. So I think he's going to have great protection behind him. And I think what we're hoping is with that protection, you're going to see the best version of Francisco Lindor.
Sure. Absolutely. The two holes fine, I think, in that spot. I don't know if we've played him there very much. You know, 2019, it was Lindor Mercado, and then Cesar Hernandez pretty much took the leadoff spot last year. We tried to force Francisco Lindor into three hole, and he just didn't perform well. But part of that is because we had Carlos Santana batting fourth, and he hit 199 on the year. That doesn't help. Yeah, I'll pitch to Carlos. So yeah, I think the protection is going to be a huge benefit out in New York that he didn't necessarily have in 2020 with the Indians.
Now, what I want to do is switch gears a bit and talk about a player that I don't think you'll have anything ill to say about, which is Carlos Never. Carrasco. I remember how much when we talked a couple months ago, how much you were gushing over what Cookie brings to the table. What did you see throughout his career in Cleveland?
I mean, he's just a baller, man. I mean, you want a consummate professional. You want someone that's literally going to give it all. He gets diagnosed with cancer in 2019 in May and then comes back and pitches in September.
It's crazy.
It's absolutely crazy. Like the progressive field, you know, the All-Star game was in Cleveland in 2019. They did that I Stand tribute. And all the Indians players had I Stand for Cookie on their signs, and Cookie's out there crying. Everyone's got their arms around him. Everyone in the stands is crying. I mean, we love the guy. He was an integral part of our rotation for years. For years, he was our number two, number three starter, even with all the Cy Youngs that are coming up. That's hard. That's hard to keep a spot in that rotation. And just all the work that he does off the field. I mean, constantly going to children's hospitals, even before his diagnosis, but even more now. I mean, he's constantly reaching out, doing things in the community, just being a consummate professional in really every aspect. I mean, you know, sometimes when something happens to someone and they'll sometimes win an award, the Roberto Clemente Award is not, it's not a token. It's not a gift. It's not a charity award that was given. I mean, this dude puts in just as much work off the field as he does on the field, and he'll outwork most of Major League Baseball starting pitchers.
And I think it's something that has gone underrated throughout this offseason. Everyone talks about the Francisco Lindor trade. And what I said even back then is I said, Lindor's incredible. I've said that Lindor might be the best player to change teams this offseason. But for what the Mets needed, getting that guy for their rotation, it means so much because now, even though the Mets have a ridiculous amount of depth, I just did a podcast last week where I was comparing the Syracuse Mets AAA rotation to like the Orioles and some of the worst rotations in baseball. And they stack up. It's crazy the depth the Mets have stacked up now. But you have finally Stroman and Carrasco behind DeGrom, and I'm pretty comfortable now knowing that in a big series, the Mets have three starters that they can go out and sweep a really good team in a playoff race.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And if for whatever reason you grab another guy at the trade deadline, anything along those lines, he'll come out of the bullpen and do whatever you want for you. He'll do whatever you want, whatever you need. He'll come out of the bullpen. He'll eat up. He'll come in, close it down. I mean, whatever you want him to do, he'll come in and do it, and he'll do it with the most effort that you'll see from any starting pitcher. It doesn't matter the scenario. It doesn't matter, you know, where he's pegged or what people think of him or where he's supposed to be in the rotation. He'll come out and do everything that he possibly can to give his best effort. And as we saw in 2020, he still got it. I mean, his fastball velocity was up. His slider had a lot of bite, like just absolutely did a fantastic job, and probably would have gotten more publicity if Shane Bieber wasn't mowing everyone down like he was and then getting blown up in the playoffs. But that's, we're talking about Carrasco. But yeah, I will never say anything negative about Carlos Carrasco ever. Just absolutely anything that you could possibly want. And if you have a lot of personalities in your starting rotation, like you do, I think that's going to be a great centering kind of addition to that rotation and keep everyone in line on page without having to really say this. He'll just lead by example.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. Really excited to talk to you. Looking forward to talking again, maybe when Andrés Giménez wins Player of the Month or something. You can come on and be happy about the trade. Who knows? Maybe Ahmed Rosario is going to lead the league in walks.
Absolutely. Well, he's on pace, right? He's on pace now.
I can't believe he drew a walk.
He did. He did in his first or second game. And I know I was kind of hard on him. I think I'm just a little bit scorned, right? I'm the mad ex-girlfriend. Lindor's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. I want to see him improve with the runners in scoring position and all of that fun stuff. Because if he does, he's one of the top 2-3 shortstops in the league.
Well, thanks again for coming on. Tell everyone where they can find your work.
Of course, you can find us at CLE Tribecast on Twitter, or you can follow me at Jeremy Tribecast as well.
That'll be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan and follow the show at Locked On Mets. And since the fantasy season is just around the corner, this is the time for you to check out a new resource that will help give you an advantage in your leagues, and that's Locked On Fantasy Baseball. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly 2 decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. He has season-long fantasy, dynasty leagues, DFS, whatever you are into. Cullen has you covered with Locked On Fantasy Baseball. So subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.